This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, February 26th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for the Wall Street Journal. Lawmakers and security researchers have been working to unravel the SolarWinds hack, the massive breach of U.S. businesses and government agencies that we learned about in December. As the work continues, we report that some lawmakers are getting frustrated with Amazon. They suspect that the tech giant could be sitting on critical information about how the hackers may have used its cloud infrastructure to carry out the attack. Our cybersecurity and intelligence reporter Dustin Volz will join us to explain after these headlines. Declines in tech stocks led a stock market tumble yesterday. Here's our markets reporter, Akani Otani, on what's driving the trend.
This is sort of a continuation of something we've been seeing for the past couple of weeks, where bond yields have been rising, inflation expectations have been rising, and those two things have generally been putting pressure on the more expensive, sort of riskier parts of the stock market that have been doing really, really well until now. So tech stocks are a big part of that. And that's why we were seeing names like Facebook, Amazon, Alphabet, among the biggest decliners in the market Thursday.
There was one tech bright spot, Twitter. Its shares were up 3.7%, and there were two potential reasons for that. First, Twitter has been hinting at a subscription service for months. And at an analyst event yesterday, it finally lifted the curtain on what it's calling Super Follows. When it rolls out later this year, Super Follows will give influencers the opportunity to receive payments for their content. The company also said that it was exploring tipping, but it didn't give further details on how that would work. Twitter said that the new initiatives are part of an effort to at least double its annual revenue by 2023. Moving into subscriptions could be a way for the company to loosen its dependence on advertising, which accounted for 86% of Twitter's total revenue last year. And both Airbnb and DoorDash dropped their first earnings reports since going public yesterday. Airbnb posted a full-year loss of $4.6 billion. That's more than its losses in the last 4 years combined. Costs related to its IPO compounded with a challenging year for the travel industry due to the pandemic. Meanwhile, DoorDash saw its revenue more than triple last quarter as lockdowns spurred the rapid adoption of food delivery. Still, the company posted a larger-than-expected loss of $312 million for the quarter. As we talked about on the show yesterday, food delivery companies have struggled to achieve profitability as restaurants and others look for ways around the commissions they charge on orders. All right, coming up next, as they investigate the SolarWinds hack, lawmakers and researchers want to hear from Amazon. But Amazon is not interested in sharing. We'll have more on that after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Earlier this week, executives from the software provider SolarWinds, the cybersecurity company FireEye, and Microsoft appeared before the Senate Intelligence Committee. They were there to answer questions about the sprawling cyber attack that compromised a slew of U.S. government agencies and businesses, and their company's roles in managing the aftermath. Notably absent from that hearing was Amazon, a fact that committee chair Senator Mark Warner even acknowledged during the proceedings.
I would like, for the record, to note that we also asked a representative from Amazon Web Services to join us today, but unfortunately they declined. But we will be expecting to get a full update. And we've had one update from our friends at Amazon, but it would be most helpful if in the future they actually attended these hearings.
So what does Amazon Web Services, that's Amazon's cloud computing division, have to do with the SolarWinds hack? For more on this, we turn to our reporter, Dustin Volz. He covers cybersecurity and intelligence for us. Hey, Dustin, thanks for being here.
Hey, Amanda. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so just to go general for a second and get a sort of lay of the land, this hack was discovered in December. SolarWinds, FireEye, and Microsoft were at this Senate hearing. Can you just remind us of the roles they played?
Well, the investigation continues more than 2 months after the discovery of this hack. SolarWinds, of course, was breached, and that was sort of a main vector for how the suspected Russian hackers were able to get into scores of other victims. So they've come out and tried to, you know, explain a lot about their investigation that's ongoing. FireEye, which was sort of also affected through the SolarWinds hack, is the company that first sort of blew the whistle on this entire thing, coming forward with what it knew, and it actually was able to identify the SolarWinds issue that led to sort of unraveling this broader problem. And Microsoft as well, which has had its Office software implicated in some of the attacks as well, and was also itself a victim, has been communicating a lot, sharing public blog posts about what it's seen and what it knows. So all of those companies are sharing a lot of information with one another and trying to do so publicly as investigators attempt to still understand this enormous cyber espionage campaign.
And as we noted at the top, Amazon's involvement in that effort, or lack thereof, has been a bit of a sticking point. But one thing that I'm confused about, how is Amazon even related to this hack? Were they one of the businesses breached?
So this is an important point here. There's no evidence that we're aware of that Amazon Web Services was directly or indirectly compromised in this Russian espionage campaign. In fact, they came out this week and said as much and said that they learned early on that they were not a victim. However, Amazon Web Services is an enormous cloud provider for the U.S. and for around the world. And what we know about the attack is that the suspected Russians used Amazon cloud space, Amazon infrastructure, to support some of its attacks against the victims. And this is important because there's been a lot of discussion in U.S. intelligence circles and among lawmakers about how this attack was so technically sophisticated and so well done in so many ways that included their use of domestic computer infrastructure that U.S. intelligence agencies, like the National Security Agency, are not able to monitor, are not able to spy on, essentially, because of legal restrictions on domestic surveillance. So while Amazon was not directly implicated in this hack, they are a very large company with a lot of data and information, and that could be valuable to researchers trying to sift through this and to others trying to understand the hack. However, they really haven't shared data about sort of what they know about which, you know, domains were affected or how many, you know, information like that. And security researchers we spoke to said, you know, that's sort of unfortunate that there could be some really potentially important clues in that information. It is important to note also Amazon said in a statement and a letter to Congress that they declined to attend the hearing because in addition to not being directly affected by the hack, they are cooperating with law enforcement. So presumably this information is being shared with the FBI and other relevant government agencies, but we're just not seeing this shared publicly or shared in a public venue with the Senate Intelligence Committee.
And I guess the question is, why not? Is there some incentive that they have to not share that information with the public?
That's a great question. And we tried to ask the company for more clarity on that, and we haven't gotten an answer on a number of different questions. You know, I think one thought that some security researchers we spoke to pointed to is simply that Amazon, again, is not a direct victim of this hack, as far as we know. And because of that, you know, appearing in testimony besides several companies that were directly implicated, directly compromised, could send the wrong message that they, too, were a victim. And certainly all companies basically want to avoid the embarrassment of being seen as a hack victim. Amazon's not unusual in that regard. But I think it would have been pretty easy for Amazon to, you know, explain that if they decided to show up for the testimony. CrowdStrike, in fact, is another cybersecurity company investigating the intrusions. And they were targeted by the hackers, but they were not actually compromised. And they testified and didn't seem to have any issue with it. So it's not totally clear why Amazon decided not to. I think they're probably surprised at just how many senators, Democrats and Republicans, expressed serious frustration at their decision to be a no-show. And now I think we're interested in seeing what's going to happen next, if the committee is going to send them a follow-up letter asking for more information or potentially threaten them with a subpoena.
And Dustin, I guess I'm looking for a takeaway here. What does this story tell us about the challenges of responding to massive cyber incidents like this and of preventing them in the future?
Well, I mean, it tells us a lot that, you know, you, as good as your defenses are, you know, it's always going to be difficult to protect yourself. And in addition to that, it shows us that the cyber attacks that we're dealing with these days that involve, you know, foreign governments especially, are often going to be so important, so big, so sophisticated, that it's not going to be a one company thing that you know, an Equifax or a Target has to deal with. It's going to actually be something that could be systemic, that could affect broader supply chains in the technology ecosystem, and as a result require a lot of companies coming together to collaborate, to share information, to work with the government. And the days of sort of, you know, stovepipe responses that affect one company and that's it, and, you know, they have to worry about their stock prices and all of that, it's no longer something that can be sort of kept to one. It's something that's going to affect broader markets, broader industries, and I think that's something important to keep in mind going forward.
All right, that's our reporter, Dustin Volz. Thanks, Dustin.
Thanks, Amanda. Good to be here.
That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.